45. 12 KOKK.
It's been a hell of a week, been counting every minute. I know it's waiting for me, and I can't wait to get it. Let's leave my truck in the drive, cause girl, I'm on a mission. We can stay in the night, but I got one condition. Yeah, I know we made plans with the neons, but you're looking lights out, turning me on. That black dress got your boy seeing red, slipping off your shoulders, pulling me into bed. Make it last like it's the last time tonight.
We are 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. A busy Friday, high school football. We had a pair of games on the air last night. Huron Tigers on the road as they visited Aberdeen. Second consecutive game, Huron Tiger defense registers a shutout. Huron defeats Aberdeen 10-0. Huron scored with about 30 seconds to go in the first half. A one-yard pass, Colton McNeil to Bubba Peterson. Then late third quarter, Michael Larson added a 23-yard field goal. Those 10 points were enough as Aberdeen never crossed the goal line, and the Tigers pick up the win. Huron now 3-4 on the season. Huron will host Mitchell next week. Here on KOKK, we had a big nine-man matchup, a pair of undefeated teams, top-ranked 9AA Parkston hosting number 4-9A Woolsey Wessington. Parkston built a lead, were up 22-0. Woolsey Wessington rallied in the fourth quarter, got within a touchdown twice. Parkston, though, pulls it out 30-22. Woolsey Wessington scored all their points in the fourth quarter. They scored their final time with under a minute to go, but could not convert on the onside kick, and Parkston held on for the victory. For the Warbirds, Caleb Richmond scored all three touchdowns, running for 5, 9, and 19 yards. Woolsey Wessington drops to 6-1 on the season. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central shut out Chamberlain 32-0 last night. For the Blackhawks, Wesley Molnar filled in at quarterback, had three touchdown passes, 10 yards to Ryder Mahalik, 69 yards to Sam Poncelo, 42 yards to Colby Flowers. Grant Edwards had two touchdowns running, 4 and 28 yards. Woonsocket Westington Springs, Sanborn Central, 6 and 1 on the season. DeSmit rolled to a 46-20 win over Great Plains Lutheran. Falkton thumped Hitchcock Tulare 48-14. Florence Henry defeated Redfield 42-7. Mount Vernon Plankinton 49, Miller Highmore Herald 6. Oldham Ramona Rutland shut out Iroquois Lake Preston 32-0. For 9-man in Class 11B, next week is the end of the regular season with the playoffs now less than 2 weeks away. Looking at 11AA and AAA scores last night, in AA, Pierce scored late and defeated Sturgis 17-14. Sturgis certainly the hard luck team in AA this year. Yankton defeated top-ranked Brookings 24-7. Watertown shut out T Area 25-0. Spearfish, ranked number 2, shut out Douglas 58-0. In AAA scores, Brandon Valley shut out Mitchell 47-0. Harrisburg edged past Sioux Falls Jefferson 21-14. Roosevelt defeated Rapid City Stevens 46-7. O'Gorman defeated Sioux Falls Washington 35-33. And Lincoln rolled over Rapid City Central 46-7. That's a look at high school football from last night. Volleyball, Huron Tigers made a trip out west. Games against the Rapid City schools last night. It was Rapid City Stevens. Tough loss for Huron as Rapid City Stevens gets the so-called reverse sweep. Huron took the first two sets, 25-23, 25-18, before Stevens rallied to win sets 3, 4, and 5, 25-23, 25-18, and 15-12. Huron volleyball drops to 5-10 on the season. Also out west, Rapid City Central swept Mitchell 25-13, 18, and 23. Double A girls tennis wrapped up yesterday, and Rapid City Stevens cruised to the state title, 509 points, well ahead of runner-up Lincoln, 366. Yankton placed third, 311.5. Watertown fourth, 294.5, and Mitchell fifth at 284. A look at the schedule for today. Busy day in Huron as Huron Tiger Cross Country is host to the ESD meet. That'll be out at Broadland Creek today. I believe varsity runs start at 10. They'll also have JV and middle school. So all 10, and that's right now 10 in the ESD, all 10 schools will be in Huron today to run ESD Cross Country. Soccer, it's quarterfinals in the AA playoffs, semifinals in the Class A playoffs. James Valley Christian is hosting a semifinal in Class A today. The Vikings with the number 2 seed hosting number 3 seed Freeman Academy, and that's a 12 noon start at James Valley Christian School. The other semifinal in Class A, number 5 Belle Fouche is at top seed Vermilion. Class A girls semifinals, number 4 seed West Central is at number 1 seed T Area, number 3 seed Dakota Valley is at number 2 Groton. As I said, double A in their quarterfinals for the girls, 8 seed O'Gorman at top seed Harrisburg, number 5 Washington at number 4 T Area, number 10 seed Brandon Valley is at number 2 seed Rapid City Stevens, number 14 Aberdeen is at number 6 seed Sioux Falls Roosevelt. For the boys, 8 seed O'Gorman at top seed Sioux Falls Christian, number 5 Watertown's at number 4 Rapid City Stevens, 7 seed Pier is at number 2 seed Sioux Falls Lincoln, and 6 seed Aberdeen is at number 3 seed Sioux Falls Jefferson. Volleyball today, as I mentioned, Huron wraps up their Rapid City weekend. They'll be at Rapid City Central afternoon today. Wolsey Westington is traveling to Gettysburg for the Potter County Invitational today. And that is our local Saturday schedule. Next Thursday is Breast Cancer Awareness Night for Huron Tiger Volleyball as they host Sioux Falls Jefferson at the arena. I think the t-shirt sales have closed, but if even you get one of the t-shirts, wear something pink for next Thursday and come out and get a good crowd out there at the arena. There's still time to be a part of the silent auction, though. That's about the last 5-6 years they've had that silent auction. Tiger head coach Josh Lean said, get those items in, but they'll take any donation they can find.
We are looking for donations from anyone willing. And HRMC, I think they're due to the foundation over at Legacy Plaza on the 15th of October. So if you just want to take them there as a local business, if you want to contact a volleyball player, a coach, we will hook you up. We'll get it to the right spot. And that online auction, all of those proceeds will also go directly here in Huron to the HRMC Foundation. And this is an effort. I didn't start it. I've just been lucky enough to be a part of it and to continue being the coach who wants to champion this thing and make sure the girls keep it going for all of those right reasons.
Contact any member or coach from Huron Tiger Volleyball if you would like to donate. Dakota Sports Saturday this morning will come up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Full show today, Jory Whiff, James Valley Christian Boys Soccer, getting set for a semifinal today. He'll join us about the matchup with Freeman Academy and a chance to play for a state championship next week. As I mentioned also, a lot of visitors in town for the ESD Cross Country Meet. Angie Thomas, cross country coach for the Huron Tigers, will preview. And we'll talk with Drew Strand about last night's big Huron Tiger football win. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show in about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're here at Slumberland Furniture with Rich Bragg, and we're going to talk about your customer appreciation sale. You do this one time a year, and it's for 4 days only, and it's a big deal.
It is. You know, it's something we started a few years back, and it just has continued to grow and grow. It's really a chance for us to say thank you to all of our loyal customers and really be appreciative of all the folks that continue to shop here and make Slumberland successful. And so we reach out to our vendors. They come up with special extra discounts and promotions that we can only do for limited time. 4 days only, this Friday through Monday. We have 50% off list prices throughout the store, plus an additional 15% off, which, you know, that extra 15% off the already reduced price brings most of these items to the lowest that they've ever been. We also allow you to combine that with the no interest for 36 months, or on our Tempur-Pedic and Stearns & Foster mattresses, which are also on sale, no interest for up to 60 months. And we also have half off of our full service delivery process Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This weekend, it's here, and then if you miss it, it's done.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking James Valley Christian Boys Soccer with head coach Jory Whiff. The Vikings are in the state semifinals of Class A today. The number 2 seed, they're hosting number 3, Freeman Academy. And Vikings, a 3-1 win over St. Thomas More to open the playoffs this past Tuesday. And, Coach, first, going into St. Thomas More, you know, the guys had a long, I think, 10-game winning streak that was snapped right at the end of the regular season. But, obviously, you come into the postseason with confidence, and I think that kind of showed in the win over More on Tuesday.
Yeah, we didn't make too big a deal out of the Mitchell game, I guess. Still, it was good to play a tough game at a fast pace. Heading into the playoffs. And Tuesday, I thought we had a really quality win against a good team. We've been saying that there's a lot of parity in the division, and St. Thomas More is an awfully good number 7 seed. They had some seniors, some bigger players who are physical. We have some guys who don't necessarily love that style of play all the time. But we did put together one of our best performances all around. Sometimes goals come in bunches. They did for us at the end of the half. Gavin Waldner had a hat trick when we played them earlier, and so he got a lot of attention, but crossed a couple balls to the backside of the net that Isaac Fast got on the end of for beautiful finishes, and then Colby had a goal running out of his defensive back spot on an assist from Keegan Hood. And defensively, I thought we were as good as we have been all year. We were pretty organized. Did a better job contesting possession and winning out of the air, which we haven't always done well. And I should mention Jonah Niederbommer as our goalkeeper. He had five saves. Doesn't sound like a lot in that game, but one thing he's done really well for us this year is communicate. That's been a huge improvement for him and a big help to us defensively. And so they got one late, but I just thought it was a very good playoff-level soccer game.
You know what I liked about that? Just the amount of names you mentioned, they're all contributing. I know you said last week when we visited, you know, Gavin Walder, a lot of things go through him, but the other teams know that. Other guys got to step up, and other guys did. And, you know, that's what makes the difference. A lot of weapons is better than one weapon.
Yeah, I think I said last year, made a mention of how many kids have been involved in the scoring attack for us, and I believe it's 10. But yeah, lots of ways that we can go about generating offense, and that's been just a huge improvement for us. And it's fun for people to watch, fun for the kids to play, knowing that they're dangerous that way, and everybody can be involved.
Well, now is Freeman Academy coming in, and I guess it's almost like poetic justice here. I know you mentioned last week, we'll kind of go explore this a little more. Freeman Academy, James Valley Christian, probably have played more times in high school soccer than any other two programs in the state. Of course, soccer has just been slowly growing. James Valley and Freeman Academy, probably one of the first schools to actually add soccer. I think you said it dates back to about 1980 for JVC.
Yeah, I believe we first played them in 1979, and so the longest running rivalry, we believe, in South Dakota, and so it's we get them the third time around, which is difficult, but no secrets there. A lot of history. I'm trying to find here. I have it looked up. They've played around about 80 times. Is what I have written down. So a lot of history there. Nathan Epp is their coach. He coached there for many years. When I first started, took a break a little longer than the one that I did, but now he's back also. So someone said when I came back around for my second go-around that I was the new old guy. So I guess you could say in this case is there's two new old guys matching up again on Saturday, as we did for many years a long time ago.
You can talk with Jory Whiff. He's head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian. Vikings hosting Freeman Academy coming up at noon today. Semifinals for a trip to the state finals. And I guess kind of look at it then. If there's a program you know about as well as you know your own, is probably Freeman Academy. You played them twice. I think a 3-1 win and a 5-1 win. They're only about 10 days apart or something like that. But just, you know, the familiarity for both programs probably makes it kind of a interesting matchup.
Yeah, like I said, no secrets. We won 3-1 in Freeman. Noah Fast, Isaac Whiff, and Skylar Theobar scored that day. They actually outshot us in that particular game. We won the second meeting here at home 5-1. That game, I felt like we controlled. We outshot them about 24-8. Had five different players score that day. Isaac Fast, Noah Fast, Carson Doris, Keegan Hood, and Gavin all scored that day. But it's always easier to play ahead, and so it's important to get off to a good start and control some of their dangerous players as well. They have good team speed. They've scored 50 goals on the season, allowed 35. We've scored 55, allowed 43. So, yeah, it'll be well-matched. I expect it to be close and hard-fought.
Well, you mentioned those stats there about the season-long, and really that's a little skewed. I don't know about Freeman Academy, but for you, you know, you throw the Sioux Falls Christian match out of there that you opened the season with, and that goals for, goals against stat becomes all that much more impressive.
Yeah, the schedules aren't the same, for sure, between the two teams. But it does, I think, still illustrate that they're dangerous. They've got a freshman who scored 25 of their 50 goals, and so he's super dangerous. We've matched up well because we have good speed at our defensive positions also. Isaac Wythe, of course, at sweeper. We've mentioned him as being a fast, one of our more physical players. It's his second year playing sweeper, a little better understanding of that position. Luke Miller and Monty Gross have become the wing defenders over the course of the season. Both of them run really well also. Not a lot of experience there. This is only Luke's second year, I believe, playing soccer. Monty hasn't played in a little while, but came back out this year. And they've just improved a ton over the course of the season. And then we ask our midfield wings to help us out, too. And several guys have played at those positions. We rotate those a little bit more than the others. It can be pretty demanding what they're asked to do. Cole Anderson has also scored 4 goals. Carson Doris, 3. Jonah Miller, 1. Javen Van Cheryl and Keegan Lowen get some work there also. So we think we match up pretty well. But likely to be difficult.
And just wrap it up with this. It doesn't matter what the sport is. It just always seems to me that semifinal is such a tough match to prepare for, to get ready for. Playing a championship is so much easier because a lot of the pressure is off. You can let it all out. So, you know, this is where your leadership comes in. You know, kids, they know what's at hand, but can you be relaxed? Can you play your regular match and be ready to go at noon?
Yeah, we'll have a little breakfast in the morning and just keep emphasizing what we have, trying to stay on a pretty even keel. But can you play fast? Can you play with some intensity and still be disciplined, still be calm on the ball, and just make the next play because it's not going to go perfectly probably.
Jory Wythe, head coach of James Valley Christian Boys Soccer, the Vikings hosting Freeman Academy, semifinal of the Class A playoffs. Winner gets to play for the championship next Saturday. I believe the final is down in Yankton this year. More to come, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Next up here, Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk cross country with Huron Tiger coach Angie Thomas, ESD. Cross country is today. It is in Huron at Broadland Creek, and we'll talk about that coming up. Doesn't come around very often for ESD purposes, and as I said, we'll get to that. But first off, Angie, this is really, to me, the start of the postseason. You have 3 meets left, ESD, then the Lecker next Thursday, then in 2 weeks, the state meet. So give your thoughts on the season just as a whole, girls and boys. I guess the biggest thing is, after last year, you've been relatively injury free this year, and knock on wood, that continues for 2 more weeks.
Yeah, we really have. I believe our athletes are kind of listening to their bodies a little bit more, and I've been a little smarter, I think, too, with my workouts and listening to them more. Even this past week, I mean, we've been doing more speed and we've been backing off the miles, but you know, we had 1 more 2-minute fast run to do, and I asked the athletes, how are your legs feeling? And they were like, you know what, our hamstrings, you know, 2 or 3 athletes kind of mentioned their hamstrings were sore. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Let's do our cool down. So I think even as a coach last year, I learned a lesson as far as, you know, sometimes the athletes don't want to say how they're feeling or how their legs are. So it's up to me to listen to those things that they're telling me. And, you know, that even happened to me back in track season when I had Quinston Llewellyn tell me, you know, my hamstring, it's not too bad. I can kind of feel it, but it's not as bad as it was before. And I ran him, and he ended up pulling it even more and was out for the rest of the season. So I think the injury thing, I've been better as a coach listening to those cues from my athletes, and hopefully they're still getting their quality workouts in.
You know, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, in any case, your October workouts are not the same as your August workouts. You are trying to back off, you know, make the practices a little shorter, perhaps, as you said, a little more speed, a little less distance. I mean, as far as distance goes, you know, their endurance, they're at where they're going to be for this time of year. So now it's just kind of more fine tuning.
You're absolutely right. I can't cram any more mileage into them now. So the athletes that have taken this season seriously, they all started in the summer. They've been running all summer long, whether it be at our open runs we do or running on their own, but they've put in the miles, they've put in the time, and this is the part of the season that, yeah, you know, we're just working on speed and fine-tuning at this point.
Now, we get to host ESD today, and this only comes around every 9 to 10 years now, just depending on the composition of the conference. Right now, we're at 10 teams with T-Area running for the first time. So, first things first, this doesn't come around every year, so the kids have to appreciate no bus ride today.
Yeah, they don't have to get up early and get on the bus at 7:30 this morning to get to the meet. They actually get to sleep in a little bit. So that is nice, and we always like running on our course. So, you know, we are out on our course once a week for our entire season, and we were just out here last month or on Monday doing our speed workout out here. We didn't do any hills. I cut off the hills too when we get right before ESD, but we love our course, and the kids like running on it. And we just look forward to a great day.
Can talk with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach for the Huron Tigers, hosting ESD today at Broadland Creek. Let's run down the lineup. You will have a full team, both girls and boys. First off, for the girls, who's running today?
Today we have Josie Vlieger running. She's been kind of going back and forth with Nora Pester and Lily Swanson. And then Hannah Schoenfelder, our senior. And Reva McGaw and Lily Meyer are going to move up and run varsity as well. So I am going to fill a varsity girls team today. And then on the boys' side, our leading runner has been TJ Lean all season. He stayed healthy. And right behind him is Tegan Lean, James Weir, Angelo Medina, and Alec Pester. So those boys, I've been running varsity all season, and they're the only ones that I'm going to run varsity today.
You know, and for the seniors especially, you know, this is it. And, you know, the fact they get to run on their home course makes it a pretty big deal as well. But bottom line is, you know, it's your last ESD. You want to be your best.
Yeah, and our kids know that if their goal is to place, which I have a few athletes where they want to place top 15, they know they're going to have to run a PR today and run out of their minds to do it. I mean, we have a very tough ESD. T-Area has joined us. They've only brought, you know, great runners with them as well. So for us to place in the top 15 today, both on the girls' side and the boys' side, we're looking at PR runs from our kids to do that.
And just kind of run down the ESD, who are some of the favorites there on both sides?
On the boys' side, it's going to be a battle between Brookings, Brandon Valley, and Aberdeen Central, honestly. Those are our top three on the boys' side, and, you know, that's going to be fun to watch as they're competing for that top spot. And then on the girls' side, I just don't know if anyone can touch Harrisburg. I mean, I kind of did a hypothetical meet, and they have the top two girls in the conference right now. And then actually all five of their girls are top 15 in our conference right now. And then Brandon Valley is close to them. So, I mean, if they run well, and maybe Harrisburg has one of their girls not run as good as she usually does, I mean, there is an opening for Brandon Valley, but it's definitely between Harrisburg and Brandon Valley on the girls' side.
And just overall, there's just good running talent here right now. And, you know, you can get somebody up there to get on the stand, earn all conference mention. They accomplished something.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking the top girls are, well, from Harrisburg, they're running a 17.03 and a 17.13. I mean, they're beating a lot of my boys right now. I mean, if you would have asked me years ago when they had the girls go to a 5K, if girls would be running this fast in the 5K, I probably would have laughed. I mean, I can remember Ellie from Brookings winning state, and I believe she ran a high 18, and we're all like, oh, my gosh, she's running under 19. That's insane. Well, now the girls are running low 17s. So, like I said, the competition is stellar. There's no doubt about it. And then on the boys' side, 15 minutes. So TJ has aspirations. He wants to place today, but he's going to have to run low 16. So he's going to have to PR by over 50 seconds in order for him to place today top 15.
And just look at it overall, you know, when you host, you want everything to go well, and it sure looks like the weather's going to be cooperative. Temperatures are going to be nice, so be about perfect running weather, depending on the wind, but we're not going to see those 80-degree temps we saw Wednesday, Thursday, a little more where we should be for this time of year. From that standpoint, you know, weather is always a factor.
It always is, but, I mean, we're all running against each other in the same weather. Same terrain. So I don't know. I think our kids do. I mean, we're used to running in practice. It's been super windy. I think last week it was super windy, but this week it's been calm, which has been a complete change. But, you know, either way, we're ready for anything that comes our way. But yeah, nice morning, and hopefully we can take advantage of it.
You know, and one thing I just thought of, too, here, you know, I kind of talked about, you know, that your seniors, they want to do well their last ESD and the fact they get to run it at home. But everybody on both your varsity rosters, this will be the only time they run ESD at home, because realistically, and I suppose things could change, but it may be 9 or 10 years, like our second graders now might be the ones that get to run ESD at home next time it comes around.
Yeah, it will be. I believe the last time we ran ESD here was in 2013-ish, was the last time we ran ESD here. It was when my son was running. So, yeah, it was, and he graduated in 2017. So, yeah, none of these kids will run ESD here again, and we will be hosting state next year. So I've talked to Steve Sharon about that, and he goes, Huron for sure will be hosting state again. After that, though, I don't know. So, you know, we'll take whenever we can. We'll enjoy running on our course for as long as we can. But, yeah, the athletes we have now, this may be it for them.
Well, just wrap it up with this. You know, I mentioned August compared to October. Well, here we are in October and three meets left. Today, ESD. Next Thursday, the Lecker again at home, and then state in 2 weeks. So, you know, from your standpoint, how do you view the improvement here? I know you've made some nice strides forward here, and that's what every coach wants, beginning of the season. You don't want to be as good as you are at the end of the season. And it looks like both sides, girls and boys, you've made some nice strides.
We have. I've definitely had some runners that you are seeing them, you know, they're getting PRs throughout the season or season best, and they're Watertown was a good meet for a lot of my runners. You know, I still think TJ has more in him, and I know he wants to place today and be top 15, but I also know he wants to be top 25 at state too, and Tegan is right there behind him. I tell all those boys, Angelo, Alec, James, there's no reason that you can't run up there with TJ. You're running the same workouts. Get up there with them. You know, hang with them as long as you can, because they're only making each other better by doing that. So I still think there's more in them. We're not done yet. On the girls' side, I'm still looking at Josie Vlieger to break out, and she just doesn't – just looks like she's holding back a little. She doesn't look exhausted at the end of her races, and that's how she has to feel. I mean, when TJ placed at state 2 years ago, he got done, and I go, oh, my gosh, you know, congratulations. How do you feel? And he goes, I feel awful. He goes, that sucked. That was so hard. And that's how you should feel when you're done, and I just don't think Josie is at that point yet, whereas I think Nora Pester and Lily Swanson, I think they're starting to push themselves more. So hopefully that'll get Josie to kind of kick in gear a little bit, and she'll get out there and hopefully have a really competitive race today with, you know what, with all of them. Even Hannah Schoenfelder is running better times this year than she has probably since her freshman year. So, you know, we'll get there. Lily Meyer was sick for a couple weeks. She just wasn't feeling very well toward the middle of the season, and she's back now, so she's working harder in practice. And then Reva Maga too, I moved her up, and hopefully she's a competitor, so hopefully they all get out there and compete today and they're happy with their times.
Angie Thomas, cross country coach here on Tigers, here on welcomes all the ESD cross country teams to town today for the conference meet. Starts at 10 o'clock this morning. Varsity races are first. I believe they have JV and middle school runs set up as well. Everything out at Broadland Creek. And, of course, just getting to the end of the season now for Huron ESD today. Roger Lecker Invitational next Thursday, 2 weeks from today, will be the estate cross-country meet with everybody, all classes out in Rapid City. Here on Tiger Football up next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're here at Slumberland Furniture with Rich Bragg, and we're going to talk about your customer appreciation sale. You do this one time a year, and it's for 4 days only, and it's a big deal.
It is. You know, it's something we started a few years back, and it just has continued to grow and grow. It's really a chance for us to say thank you to all of our loyal customers and really be appreciative of all the folks that continue to shop here and make Slumberland successful. And so we reach out to our vendors. They come up with special extra discounts and promotions that we can only do for limited time, 4 days only, this Friday through Monday. We have 50% off list prices throughout the store, plus an additional 15% off, which, you know, that extra 15% off the already reduced price brings most of these items to the lowest that they've ever been. We also allow you to combine that with the no interest for 36 months, or on our Tempur-Pedic and Stearns & Foster mattresses, which are also on sale, no interest for up to 60 months. And we also have half off of our full service delivery process Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This weekend, it's here, and then if you miss it, it's done.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, wrap it up. Talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Drew Strand. Tigers a 10-0 shutout win at Aberdeen last night. Second consecutive shutout for the Huron Tiger defense as they move to 3-4 on the season, and two home games left to wrap up the regular season. And coach, just kind of an overview of that game. Again, Credit to the defense. They have made so many strides from Yankton to last night to go basically one touchdown in the last 12 quarters is all they've given up. Back-to-back shutouts. I think it's been a little while since Huron's had back-to-back shutouts.
Yep. I mean, they keep doing a phenomenal job for us, and we went in with a game plan of mixing up our fronts for Aberdeen, you know, and just not sticking our guys, you know, just across from them and saying, you know, you got to beat this guy across from you. So I thought they did a fantastic job of getting their calls, getting in position, and moving around even late, right before the snap, just to get those guys, you know, the look so we could give them the answers that they needed to have success out there last night. And they did a phenomenal job and got to their spots and flew around. And really, you know, I thought last night was our best night for our guys all rallying to the ball and helping each other out there on defense as well.
Yeah, I didn't bring my defensive chart in here, but there were a lot of guys, five, six, seven tackles. I think Anderson Porridge, Bubba Peterson led with seven, but then Holfer, Oakley Anderson there in the middle, they had five or six. And like I said, there was just a lot of guys that made contributions there. As you said, swarmed to the ball. You just wanted a lot of white jerseys wherever the ball was at.
Yep, I mean, I know at the beginning of the year we didn't start doing that. We kind of relied on one guy to do that, so it's gotten a lot better, and those guys are starting to figure out, you know, their rules based on your position, and did a fantastic job out there, and our coverage did well, not giving up the deep balls as well.
And, you know, just so many contributed, Nolan Staley, there's one that I just think has made so much improvement since the beginning of the season. Maybe the unsung guy, though, is a Rayshon Whiff. We were talking before he went on, you know, he's a nose, but he does better at defensive end, but I'm going to have to watch now after you told me on kickoffs he is probably the funnest guy to watch in the state.
Yep, I mean, he's our highlight reel guy on kickoffs. He's going down there, you know, and he's always looking for somebody, and that's what he wants to do, you know. He's one of those guys on our team that really gets after it, and he continues to get up every time, no matter who he goes against or where he's at. He just really gets after it and does a phenomenal job in the middle of our defense, you know, filling gaps and things like that and taking on double teams and still getting rushes. Just a great job by him and that whole defensive line.
And just basically overall, anytime you can shut out two opponents in a row, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you're doing the job, and so many contributions. I think we forced two turnovers, one a fumble recovery, then Anderson Porish with the interception, which iced the game at that point. So, you know, we're rotating a lot of guys. It isn't 11 guys that are in on this. We're probably, got 18, 19, 20, because we found a rotation to get some guys some rest, and it's starting to show now.
Yep, I mean, we're finding that rotation. We're getting that in. Unfortunately, you know, last night the rotation went a little bit downhill with our skill guys and our DBs and corners just because of our injuries that happened during the game. But having those guys rotate, and then we were kind of sitting there last night and, you know, I think there's maybe four guys now that play both ways 100%, you know, but finding ways to get those guys and helping those guys kind of rotate and get off to get some blows here and there definitely helps and keeps them fresh as we continue to go on.
You know, corners where we really did get hit hard last night. Logan Leyendecker had an injury during the week. It looked like he warmed up, tried it, and just wasn't going to go. Riley Winter went out second quarter with an injury. Gunnar Harris, he just sat on that corner on the right side and just took care of that side of the field. I know Sean Messimore is good to have him back in the lineup. He had to leave a few plays, and there's Thackeray Hansen. I think he just thought, you know, Thackeray, you're a great athlete. Just do what you do.
Yep, I mean, that's kind of before the pregame. Bryce and I were kind of talking about it, and that was kind of an adjustment. You know, it was like Logan, we knew Logan was out, and then it's, you know, you got Riley and Sean, and if one of those goes down, who's the next guy up, you know? And we had James, we call him Jimmy, James Schoenhart Jr., he was out. So, I mean, he's usually kind of our younger backup corner there, but he was out with a back injury all week. And so, you know, we kind of looked around, and Thackeray, you know, he can run with anybody and play with anybody, and he does a fantastic job. You know, he's one of those guys that we used to play at safety, so he understands it. Unfortunately, you know, with his shoulder injury, we just try to save him more for offense now and kind of protect him that way. And so guys definitely flying around and flying in, and Gunner having to step up. You know, I thought he did a fantastic job of, you know, not giving up those big plays that we were trying to ask him to go out there and do. Kind of knowing, you know, and just let them throw it short and rally to the ball like we did. And he did a fantastic job stepping in and filling that role.
And offensively, I think I had Colton 210 yards passing after I redid everything this morning. I was missing a couple of passes in there, but 210 yards passing, but yeah, I don't think we had anybody much over 50. We had five guys between three and five catches. We had four guys between 40 and 50 yards or so, so spreading the ball around. You know, Aberdeen, I thought, did a very good job of taking the deep shots away for the most part. We did miss on one that was there, but, you know, it was, you know, the old cliche, take what they give us, and that's kind of what we did last night. And Aberdeen started to do that some in the second half.
Yep, I mean, coming into it, you know, we kind of had a game plan of just, you know, use that for our run game, and you know, it worked out for us there. And if they're going to give us that all night, that's what, just what we got to continue to do. You know, I thought there were times where offensively we even got away from it a little bit and kind of tried something else and didn't have it work out, you know, but then just kind of find our groove and went right back to it. You know, and just keep them honest, you know, if they're not going to change up and they're going to show us this look, this is what you have. And he did a good job of when we called a play and it was there, he would check out of it and, you know, end up going that route. You know, I thought we dropped a couple passes there and missed a couple windows, but overall, yeah, they did a fantastic job. And, you know, every time we can get him rolling, throwing the ball and get it out quick for him, it definitely helps us and it helps our young linemen and gets our guys in space to make plays.
And sometimes it does take a little luck on our touchdown drive late in the first half. We had a fourth and one on our side of the 50, and we ended up, I think it was a 22-yard pass from Colton to Anderson Porish, but that was more out of desperation on Colton. That was not the way it was drawn up.
Funny thing, I didn't even call a play. I was going to use a timeout. I was just trying to get him to jump off sides. And, you know, it happens sometimes. Guys get in the moment. Charlie ended up snapping the ball, and, you know, it just happened to work out. I know our guys do a fantastic job. You know, that's kind of one of those things where it's kind of overcome your mistakes and overcome the adversity. I know, you know, nobody was ready for it. You know, I don't even know if Aberdeen was ready just because I think four people moved right away on the snap. So, you know, opportunities come, you know, to those who just progress and keep flowing with it. It doesn't matter, you know, we could have had a lot of guys that kind of went in there and, you know, it could have went the wrong way or the other way, and, you know, we could have had guys making excuses, and we've kind of got rid of that. And, you know, I commend these guys and these young guys just for starting to step up and really just take ownership and be their team and just make plays for themselves and their teammates around them.
You know, you mentioned Charlie Martin, and, you know, that's a kid that's been a little under the radar, too, because he plays some of those anonymous positions by in the line, is what I'm saying. But, you know, Charlie, he's one of those guys that rarely leaves the field, and he was a guy, and I said it last night on the post game, that up until right about now last year, he was a running back and was wearing 25. He said he needed some help on the line. He says, oh, let's just reverse the number. I'll go 52, and he's found a home there.
Yep, I mean, he does a fantastic job. Definitely a great leader to have there and takes all those younger guys under his wing and just helps him out, and they do a good job of helping him out when they need to. I know, you know, going into this week, we knew we had a challenge and he had to find ways to, you know, kind of block, and we rotated our nose guy in on defense, you know, for scout team all week just to give Charlie, you know, kind of a feel for what he was going to have, and there's no way we can mimic, you know, what his Friday nights are going to be like going both ways and going up against the guys he's going to go against. But you know, I think these kids and him, you know, they all believe in it, and they all want to, it doesn't matter what size they are, as long as they go hard, you know, and they believe in what they're doing and they trust in what they're doing, things can be successful, and that's exactly what they all did last night. I know earlier this week I heard somebody talking and saying, you know, just about the size difference and being the underdogs, but, you know, going into that game, we felt like we weren't the underdogs. We felt like we had a chance, and our guys really believed in that and stepped up to that role, and it paid off last night and showed.
And we do need one last thing here on last night's game. Give a hat off to the special teams, in particular kicking, Anderson Porish. I'm going to have to go back and see just what his punt average was. I'm pretty sure there was two punts at least that went over 50 yards. You know, that swings the field position, and that was definitely a help last night. And Michael Larson had a field goal block, comes right back, shorter field goal obviously, but still put him back out there. And, you know, those 3 points that he kicked there late in the third quarter, that turned to be huge because it kind of changed the way Aberdeen had to approach things the rest of the way.
Yep, we knew kind of going in, like, we had to get to a two-possession game, and Micah did a phenomenal job of coming in there and kind of shaking off the first miss. I know we got a false start on the first one, you know, to make it a little tougher for him. And so we just got to continue to get better at those things and be able to hit those when we have the opportunities. You know, I know he can from there, so we just got to keep grinding those and get those more comfortable and get him more comfortable back there for plays like that and just get those 2 points, because it definitely changes the pressure a little bit and put a lot more pressure on them and kind of changed how they had to go through things just to be able to get the two possession game back within one for themselves. And Andy been punting, he's been doing a really phenomenal job. We just got to keep our guys there, you know, to block a little bit longer, and I thought they did a great job last night. I thought special teams game last night, we definitely won that and flipped their field on every punt, you know, that we punted off to them. So it was a great job by those guys and really setting our team up for success on flipping the field.
So we look ahead, two home games for the rest of the regular season at 3-4. Look in good shape for the playoffs, but still nothing settled there yet. We're 7 or 8 right there right now, but another win would be huge there. Mitchell comes in, they got one win of the season, but as we have found here to last 6, 7, 8 years, with one two exceptions I can think of, here on Mitchell, the records, as the cliche goes, out the window. Both teams will be ready for this next Friday night.
Yep, I mean, it's always with Mitchell, it always seems like it comes down to the end, and hopefully, you know, we can come up with a game plan and our defense can continue to have success and we get our guys back healthy here that came out of the game and just really kind of go after it and just kind of go into that same mindset of, like we've said all year, is just continue to progress and get better. You know, like I said, I thought there was things on offense, you know, last week or this last night that we left out there, and we got to find ways, you know, to continue to improve. And that's our improvement for this week, is not leave out those plays or those touchdowns that we left out there, points on the board that we could have put on the board. And then defensively, you know, they just got to continue to do their thing and not let up big plays and just make a team drive on them and get stops for us. And hopefully we can continue to do those things and come up with game plans good enough, you know, to hopefully have a chance here and get back to 500.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers, a 10-0 shutout win over Aberdeen last night. Second consecutive shutout for the Huron Tiger defense, now 3-4 on the season. Wrap up the regular season, two straight home games, including next Friday hosting the Mitchell Colonels at 7 o'clock. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
The paychecks from the cinch playoffs have all been cashed. The bean counters are hard at it, and we'll have an official, unofficial NFR roster on next week's TFC. Tremendous crowds on hand at the tour finals in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, witnessing the top 15 in each event move on to the national finals rodeo. Chad Mayfield was on fire, setting a single season earnings record in the TDR, and the home state was stunned to realize the only South Dakota Bronc Rider qualifying for the NFR was actually Damian Brennan, an Australian transplant living in Wall, South Dakota. The Rushmore State, famous for buck and stock and Bronc Riders, had zero this year. This week's TFC on the other side.
Farmers and builders, listen up. Purple Wave Auction is shaking up equipment sales. We're the no reserve online auction powerhouse where every bid could be a win. From combines to cranes, tractors to excavators, if it has wheels or tracks, we've got it at purplewave.com. Purple Wave is your ticket to upgrade your operation. Join our nationwide buying community today and see why no reserve means maximum opportunity.
Harken now as we present the top five at each event headed to the NFR. Big D, lock it down and let's get it on.
Oh, yeah?
Betcha, yeah.
Bareback Attack, Texan Rocker Steiner, pass number 2, Keaton Hazer, Colorado. Texan Leighton Berry Trey, Utah's Dean Thompson, and Cali's R.C. Landingham, land 4 and 5. Get it?
I don't get it.
Moordogan, Oregonian, Dalton Massey, Top Dog, Gurr, Dakota Eldridge in Nevada, Stetson Jorgensen of Idaho, Will Loomis of Old Miss in Minnesota's J.D. Struxness go 2 through 5. Yeah, you betcha. All right, team rope and headers, the Eggman of Flo Rida in front, then Wade, Driggers, Proctor, and Summer.
Farmers. On their heels, South Dakota's Levi Lord hath risen to number one. Never gets old. Thorpe, Nogueta, Long, and Medlin round out the top five. Santa Bronc Riding, Damian Brennan from Wall Drug, tip top. Utah's Rider Wright at Cade Bruno of Idaho, night fight for 2 and 3. Texan Wyatt Casper and Wyoming Hand Brody Crest, chilling 4 and 5. Come on now.
Oh, that's the best you can do? Come on, give it up, pal.
TDR, Tie Down Rope and Shad Mayfield, Haven Maged, Ty Harris, Riley Webb, and Shane Hanchy run 1 through 5, respectively. Bumper Barrels, Texans Haley Kinzel, Shelly Castleberry, and Cass Mowry, 1, 3, and 4. Oklahoma's Leslie Smoligo and Emily Beisel, 2 and 5. There you go. Breakaway, Shelby Beaujolais, Josie Connor, Jackie Crawford, Kelsey Domer, and Taylor Munsell, in that order. I love this new gadget. TJ Gray is the man. Hayes Wade of Utah Shotgun, Louisiana's Jace Trosslair, number 3. Utah's Josh Frost and Floridian Clay Sellers, 4 and 5 in the spin cycle. Rack this show. I'm out. Much love to Purple Wave Auction, DiscountWestInWind.com, and Sioux Steel Company. For Big D, Derek Beck, and the Air Force at this blowtorch, Monty James for America's Top 5 Countdown. In these days of consolidation, conglomerations, and giant corporate-owned dealerships, it's nice to see farm and ranch family-owned Premier Equipment expanding. See their impressive new Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com or visit their hometown locations in Eureka, Battle, Huron, Mobridge, Isabel, and now Sturgis. Bill Linscove started this outfit in 1951, and now 4 generations later, they are still going strong and getting stronger. Parts counter is open, and the coffee is always on at the 6 Premier Equipment New Holland locations. Hit PremierEQSD.com.
And it is about that time. We sit down once a week. We talk to Reg from the Real Estate Connection. We see what's happening in the world of real estate. Remember, you can get a hold of Reg anytime you'd like. You can call Reg. You can text him, 605-350-2223. He is a texter. He will answer your text messages there at the Real Estate Connection. He'll get a hold of you any way that he can. Now, you can also check him out on the web, realestatehuron.com. You'll see not only the listings from the Real Estate Connection, but they're also a member of the multiple list. So you'll see all the multiple list listings. Now, that benefits you in a couple of ways. One, you're looking at basically everything that there is for sale. Being a member of the multiple list, he can sell you nearly any property that you find. There are a few things called agency exclusives. They're pretty few and far between.